Hey, what's up, everybody? This is So Real. I'm just putting this short little intro in because for this particular show, I was unable to record, and actually I had some technical difficulties and wasn't able to even log on to the station on time. I started, I think, 10 to 15 minutes late. This started recording shortly after. I literally got on. I didn't even go through my intro. I just got on the air as quickly as possible and called up this individual because he had a time limit that he was going to be able to stay up because it was late. So I just went right into the interview, and you didn't miss too much at the beginning, but you did miss a little bit. I'm sorry about it, just kind of cutting in and you being lost. But just for a little understanding, this is Jacques Fresco being assisted by somebody because of his hard of hearing. Jacques Fresco is the founder of the Venus Project, referred to in this Zeitgeist Addendum movie. Now, if you haven't seen the Zeitgeist Addendum movie, before you go ahead and listen to this interview, you might want to go ahead and check it out. It is somewhat long, but at least it'll give you some background and understanding. I actually would even recommend that you watch Zeitgeist, the movie, and Zeitgeist Addendum, which is part two. Zeitgeist, the movie, of course, being part one. You can see that at zeitgeistthemovie.com. And without further ado, my interview with Jacques Fresco.
Poverty, hunger, politics, corruption, prisons, and most crime. You have to declare the earth as the common heritage of all the world's people. In that way, you put an end to territorial disputes. Before the states were joined together, they used to have a militia at the borders that always had territorial disputes. Once all the states were joined together, the militias disappeared. There was no need for it. Mm-hmm. And it appears that if we wish to have peace on earth and goodwill to all people, we must declare the earth common heritage and then do away with all the artificial boundaries that separate people.
Okay.
And yes.
Okay, wonderful.
Then we would have to eliminate money, mm-hmm. because money always corrupts people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the love of money corrupts people. When Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple, now they're all back in.
Gotcha, yeah, absolutely. The question that I wanted to pose to you, and now granted, I just wanted to clarify what we are about. You know, there is a, you know, the Zeitgeist movie came out recently and you were featured in it, and it was a bit of a controversial movie. Let's just say that it's very controversial. We've been talking about
the new is controversial.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, I guess basically the reason why we wanted to bring you on here is number one, to understand more about your concepts, because really the Zeitgeist movie seemed to be based around you personally, you know, and your ideas and philosophies. I'm assuming you have seen the Zeitgeist Addendum movie. Is that correct?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And I'm just wondering, have you seen Zeitgeist 1, and do you agree with much of the concepts that it talks about in that movie?
We're having a little trouble hearing you, so I'm going to repeat the question to Jacques. Do you agree with the concepts in Zeitgeist 1?
I haven't seen Zeitgeist 1, but everything but the conspiracy theory.
Right. So, I mean, I looked on, I was looking, doing some research. As far as I understand, you do believe that the money, power, control of the world is basically kind of the root of what's going on in the problems of today. Is that correct?
Money ruling the world is the problems of today.
Well, not just money, our value system and our language.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the language we use every day was designed hundreds of years ago, and it's no longer relevant.
Mm-hmm.
People still talk about, I'll see you at sunrise, as though the sun rise. You know
yeah.
what I mean? The earth turns in that direction. The sun doesn't rise. Another thing, when the Pope comes to this country, he points upward toward heaven. If he goes to China, he points the wrong way. He points downward. So that was all based upon the flat earth,
mm-hmm.
in the early days.
Right.
we have in our language is terrible today. If you read the Bible, it's subject to interpretation. Jesus never wrote anything.
Mm-hmm.
Man says, I think this is what he meant. And another man says, no, I think he meant that. Luke meant this, and mm-hmm. Peter meant that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the Seventh-day Adventist, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these different points of view because it's subject to interpretation.
Right.
The language of the future will not be subject to interpretation, and I have evidence to supply the fact that that's so. For example, in chemistry, that's not subject to interpretation. Mathematics is not subject to interpretation. Everyday language is completely subject to interpretation. If it wasn't, the profession of law would be phased out.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lawyer can take language, manipulate it in any way he wants to, and win a case if he's a good lawyer.
Right,
so
right.
So lawyers have nothing to do with the world of reality. It's a business thing. And when I talk about the free enterprise system, I mean, it was great 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have the capacity to provide for all human needs. We don't have the money. For example, so that you understand me better,
mm-hmm.
when they draft a young man into the army,
mm-hmm.
what they should do is conscript all the war industries so no one makes a buck out of war. Then it's real.
Mm-hmm.
When a company says, we know who we're working for, they're working for the almighty dollar. They sell warplanes and battleships, and people become billionaires in war. So all war, as far as I know, as far as I've gone back, has always been corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's total conscription of men, machines, so that no one makes a buck out of war.
I absolutely
agree. If soldiers knew that, if they were educated, which mm-hmm. they're not, all people in all countries are really trained to uphold established institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Established institutions mean that those institutions that kept people in power. So when people are elected into government, they are really not elected to change things. They're elected to keep things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
What is needed is not an established culture, but an emergent culture. An emergent culture means as time goes on, our desktops, our computers are getting faster, they're getting better, they're getting lighter. That's an emergent culture.
Mm-hmm.
So all our buildings, social institutions, and building codes were designed a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
They have nothing to do with survival. So the free enterprise system, like I said, was great 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Consider the cost of World War II, we could have housed and built hospitals all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just show you a pretty stupid area of our present-day culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is true of all societies, not just America. America has 300 submarines. Each one has more destructive power than all the wars in history. How stupid can you be? What can
yeah.
you solve with that?
Right, right.
They built a place for the senators and congressmen under a mountain where they can survive in case of nuclear war, assuming they got there. In case of nuclear war, they can survive for 6 months. Where do you come out to, a burnt-out cinder that's radioactive? Congressmen and statesmen are pretty ignorant people.
Mm-hmm.
They should be at the forefront of technology. They are not. They don't even know how to solve problems. When they have a problem, they make a law.
Right, right.
And you know that if they make a law, they sign treaties with other nations. And we know that if the treaty doesn't suit our interest, we will violate it.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So it has no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about government, democracy, these are words. Whenever you hear democracy and freedom, watch out.
Indeed.
For example, let me give you an example.
Uh-huh.
You know, what a democracy would really be like
mm-hmm.
if our president got up and criticized another country, say for an hour or an hour and a half. When he was through criticizing, we would invite the prime minister of that country to give his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
then we would invite the Prime Minister of Sweden, who says, I disagree with both of them. That's a democracy, where you have all points of view, and the American people turn it on or off. We've never had that.
Mm.
We've always had managed news.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me ask you a question then. Doing some research based on your ideas, I kind of want to get an understanding of your views on the United Nations, in specific the UNESCO organization and some of its goals. Some of them seem similar, except for UNESCO and United Nations is attempting to do it through the power of government and through treaties and whatnot. Do you feel that's an effective means to accomplish your goals? Do you feel like the UN is worthwhile at all? Do you agree with its aims?
Do you think that the UN is trying to accomplish your goals?
No, the UN is comprised of many nations, and those nations want to know that any decision that's made, how does it affect their nation? They're not interested in, they don't even know how to go about setting up a global society. They don't know the process. They're sincere, I don't doubt that, but they're not educated in ecology, human relations, the history of civilization. They really don't know how to solve problems. For example, we have signs on the highway, drive carefully, slippery when wet. What we would do is take down those signs, put abrasives in the highway, so it's not slippery when wet.
Mm.
You can't make laws. All man-made laws are artificial. They're designed to control people. The only laws that count is natural law. If you don't get enough sleep, nutritious food, you're going to get sick.
Mm.
And they cannot be violated. Natural law cannot be violated. When a congressman goes up the steps of the White House, he burns so many kilogram calories per kilo of weight, which has nothing to do. Congressmen can't change the law of gravity. We have to study nature and humanity's relationship to the forest, to the oceans. We're connected to all those things.
Mm-hmm.
If we negate those things, we will kill ourselves.
Absolutely.
We're not educated to that in school. Economics, the study of economics is false. Money does not represent things in existence. It's an agreement amongst nations.
Mm.
And money has been the corrupter. And all of your social institutions are designed to hold up the established viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And most people become conditioned to be self-appointed guardians of the established, of the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about what I'm saying. I wish it were otherwise.
Yeah, I hear you. What I know about your universal vision, how do you see the variations of people throughout the world? You have people who are flying in space, and you have people who are still hunting their food with spears. How do you see these people on such opposite sides of the spectrum and understanding how the world could work coming together for this type of movement towards progress?
I think I've got the question. First of all, people do not concern themselves with those questions because they're still paying off their car and their houses, and they're up to their neck in debt. And it's very difficult for people to sit back and ask, what is the nature of life? What is the nature of society? How come some societies have totally different concepts of God than we have?
Mm-hmm.
And why? What is war? What brings it about? Why are people serial killers? They have no idea how the human systems work. And so I'm saying this, that in the future, people will be better oriented to the nature of their relationship to the forest, to trees, to the oceans, to the atmosphere. They will be educated in a global relationship. They will not be educated as patriots, because there's no such thing as a patriot. The people that came to this country came from all over the world, and they brought many wonderful ideas. And the things that make our country somewhat better than others in some areas is because of the contributions made by all people. Let me elaborate on that a little.
Okay.
For example, there was an Arab named Algebra, who gave us algebra. The great museum in Egypt, the great library of Egypt, provided literature and books on all the world's thinking at the time. So we owe so much to so many countries. You know, Louis Pasteur was a Frenchman, and Madame Curie. And you have all the wonderful contributions. You know, the Chinese used to have men carrying kites 1,000 years before the Wright brothers.
Mm.
And so when you think in terms of education and schools, people are not educated. Mm. In the future, they will become generalists. You couldn't make a mechanical engineer or a chemist in the future, or a biologist, without giving them an overview of how we relate to all the other professions. A scientist would never become interested in optics only.
Mm.
He'd want to know how life formed, how our relationship to the universe and our relationship to cosmic rays and everything else. That's why I say that people in the future will be generalists.
Mm.
So you couldn't use an engineer to make rockets to destroy other countries.
Mm.
In other words, they would say, I'd like to hear the other country's point of view.
Mm.
They would be so well educated in so many different areas, they will not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody once said to me, well, in that kind of society, wouldn't everybody be alike? Yes, they will in certain areas. They will not engage in war. They will take care of the oceans and the atmosphere. They will not destroy the forest. So there's nothing wrong with being alike if you're sane.
Mm-hmm.
If they picture people being alike, somewhat like soldiers marching. Soldiers are alike. They follow orders. Now, I want to tell you, United States Army, about 40 years ago, dumped 65 tons of nerve gas off the coast of Miami, near the Gulf Stream. How stupid can you be? Well,
yeah.
The soldier says, I got to carry out the orders I've been given. In the future, no one will carry out anything that's destructive to the environment due to the change in education. Our universities are all basically corrupt because they generally teach people how to become engineers, aeronautical engineers, chemical engineers, structural engineers, but they are not generalists. And this is where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Germany, the scientists fell in line with the Nazi point of view. In America, the American engineers fall in line with the American point of view. The Catholic Church in Italy blessed war tanks in Italy. In America, the Catholic Church blessed war tanks in America. So the church sells out to the monetary system. Religion is too deep a subject for the average person to grasp. They make God in their own image. Some guy that gets angry, creates floods, and if you don't follow his teachings, you suffer eternal damnation. This isn't God. This is a psychopath.
Mm.
Made in the image of man.
Mm-hmm.
So man is, in other words, even Carl Sagan wanted to try to communicate with extraterrestrials. He tried to raise sufficient funds. Let me say something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that can travel 100 million light years through space doesn't want to meet your president.
No doubt.
You understand what I'm getting at?
Yes.
Most normal people can talk to Einstein or an engineer, and they think they can talk to God.
Mm. Interesting.
And don't forget, Jesus never wrote anything.
Mm-hmm.
People wrote what they thought he meant.
Right.
And people would read the Bible and say, I think John meant this, and I think Peter meant that, and I think Jesus meant this. And, no, I don't agree with you. So you get the Lutheran, the Catholic, the Seventh-day Adventist. Because if the church is divided, there's no church at all. People don't have the sanity to understand the real teachings. Now, people say to me, religious people, you're trying to make the world a better place. No, I'm not. The Lord's Prayer, they forget it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer. There's no business in heaven, no private property, no money. So we're fairly consistent with all religious teachings which have become involved in the monetary system.
Absolutely.
You know, the preacher of a church, the preacher, has dinner with the wealthy people, because they're the only ones who can put a new chandelier in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But a real Christian would have dinner with the least of people.
Mm-hmm. What
do
are
you
your? What
do you, I mean?
Yes, I do understand what you mean completely. I'm curious to know: do you have any spiritual beliefs personally? Are you a member of any religion? Are you atheist?
Excuse me, I'm going to be telling Jack what the question is, because he's a little hard of hearing.
No,
and
no problem.
The voice is low on our phone. So
I'll try to turn it up for you.
Do you have any religion? Are you an atheist?
My religion is allegiance to the earth and all the people on it, no mm-hmm. separate countries, and to bring out the best in all human beings all through the world. And if that isn't good enough, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, absolutely. Now, what do you say, I mean, when your Zeitgeist movie came out and you were featured in it and it talked about the Venus Project, I gotta tell you, among the people who are a part of the so-called conspiracy movement, were in an uproar about it. And some people have even claimed that the ideas are communism. What is your response to that?
Well, communism is really designed a long time ago. It uses money. We don't. It has a government. We don't. It has banks. It has social stratification. It has police and prisons. We have none of those things. It has patriotism. We don't. So it has nothing in common with communism, socialism. They're not radical enough for this country or this world.
It's
an old-fashioned idea that doesn't work.
Right, right. Now, another question I have for you is, I mean, there are people out there in the government that are kind of seeing things along the same guidelines, it seems like. Are you familiar with Zbigniew Brzezinski?
Does Brzezinski sees things like you do?
No, I know of no one that has a blueprint for the future. Specific details.
Mm-hmm.
They have generalizations such as, if only there were ethical people in government. If you had the most ethical people in the world in government, if you ran out of resources, it'd be lying, cheating, territorial disputes. It's not ethical people that we need. It's the intelligent management of the Earth's resources.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So let me ask you, who is going to manage all these things? I mean, things still have to be built. What kind of structure do you imagine would manage these things without there being currency involved?
I can only attempt to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we would have to make a major motion picture to show people what the world can be. Not what it will be, I don't know. We may kill each other.
Yeah.
But if we make this motion picture called "And the World Will Be One," it's not the one world that the businessmen talk of with themselves at the helm or control,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else subservient to the power elite. It is not that kind of one world. It is using the earth to benefit everyone. Therefore, all inventions will become the common heritage of all the world's people.
Interesting.
Who would manage it?
It would be managed... Oh, I see. Who would make the decisions is really what you want to know.
Yeah.
No one. For we would take samples of the soil, let's say we deal with America only, it's easy to understand. We take samples of the soil, bring it to the agricultural departments in each area. There they will analyze the soil, and by the contents of the soil, they might say it's best to grow sugarcane for 3 years and then beets, you know, but that would not be an opinion. That would be a finding. We would have flotation units in the ocean
mm-hmm.
that would bob up and down, and if a tsunami occurred, that would automatically warn all the islands within the proximity of that unit. All automobiles would have sonar on radar, so they couldn't hit one another.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm
saying? Yeah, I do understand. But who's gonna plant the beats?
An airplane. You don't have to write the pilot and say, I thought we're going to Hawaii, I see icebergs.
Mm-hmm.
They know their business. The navigator and the pilot knows his business. You don't have to write them. Who are these dummies in Washington that they ask you to write to? How did they get the job in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, you'll have geologists, geophysicists, people that understand how the world operates.
Mm-hmm.
They will not direct it, and they will not control it. There'll be no technical elitism. For example, if you can follow this, electronic computers will have their tentacles into the soil. If the water table drops, they will pump water into that region. If the nutrients change, computers will pump nutrients into the region. Why computers? Because they can handle 1,000 trillion bits of information per second. No humans can do that.
Right.
Is it a machine takeover? No, it's not. I want you to understand machines have no gut reaction. They don't want to be president. They don't want to run the show. They don't want to control people. It's man that louses up the ocean, that poisons the atmosphere, that is serial killers, that kill one another, that fly bombers, that guide missiles into other cities. This is men that do that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the abuse and misuse of technology. Technology can be used to enhance the lives of all people. We don't do that. No nation does that. So I uphold no nation.
Okay.
All nations need this type of information.
Okay, well, who will design and who will build the machines, and what incentive do they have to do it?
Who will design and who will build, and what incentive do they have?
Okay. They tell you that the monetary system breeds incentive.
Mm-hmm.
The harder you work, the more you earn. I just want to say this. It also generates incentive for corruption, taking care of your friends, paying off people that don't agree with you. You understand? That doesn't only produce incentive to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are guys like Mahatma Gandhi who never got paid for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys like Jesus Christ that was crucified. He did nothing for money.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he chased the money changers out of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
When a rich man said to him, "Can I enter the kingdom of heaven?" He said, "The same chance a camel has going to the eye of a needle." I'm trying to say that all churches have been corrupted by the nation. Otherwise, they just couldn't exist if they didn't conform.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same for people.
Incentive.
The incentive would be a world without war, hunger, poverty, people needing medical care and couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
A world without money means you can't sell drugs. Do you understand? There's no money in it.
Right.
You can't pay off politicians. So what we have is distribution centers, like the human body. The human body, when you get an infection in your toe, there's no committee meeting of cells that go to the brain and say, "Hey, there's an infection in your toe." And the brain says, "We're going to do a two-month study." By that time, your infection's up to your knee.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the human body sends antibodies there right away. That's where I got the idea for the new culture. To use science and technology and invention to enhance the lives of all people. There would be no private ownership any more than any organ of the human body
mm-hmm.
has maximum advantage.
Right. Now, how do you see the transition from what we have today to what you imagine? Is there going to be some revolution?
I got your message. Yeah. Okay. The transition will not occur unless there's a social and economic breakdown. It was the last depression, the big one,
mm-hmm.
the crash where the banks fell. That's when people began to ask questions like, how about Mankind United? What about communism, socialism? What does that really mean? Well, let me tell you, whatever the Republicans say about the Democrats or what the Democrats say about the Republicans are all false
mm-hmm.
because they have nothing to do with reality. They are different social systems. And so I want to tell you about something which you may or may not know about. Some years ago, the government promised veterans $600 when they got out of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Big Depression. Well, the government was broke, so they gave them IOUs. And the veteran said, "I can't eat that." So 10,000 veterans marched on Washington, and they slept all over the grass, all around the Capitol. And the senators said, "You got to get them out of here, because we can't have that." So Douglas MacArthur had the army throw tear gas at the veterans. Now, you can get that information in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I said, the army dumped 65 tons of nerve gas off the coast of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, I'm against the space program, too, because until the world learns to live together in peace, then we'll go out into space as a joint venture. But if you go out as separate nations, I can assure you there'll be nuclear weapons out there sooner or later going around the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We are not wise enough yet to use our technology intelligently.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I wish there were other people that thought this way. But I've never met anyone that has specific methods of dealing with problems.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe the government is engaged in operations against the people? Like, I mean, do you believe, like, for example, do you believe 9/11 was a government job, that they produced 9/11 in order to justify war?
Do you think they produced 9/11 to justify war?
No, they used it to justify war. I don't think they produced it to justify war. In some instances, we make up stories.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you want boys to enlist, you get a guy like Frank Capra to make a movie called Why We Fight. And we make Japanese look awful. We put artificial teeth in their mouth in a motion picture. And they run a bayonet through pregnant women, and enlistments go up 75%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Germans do. If you were brought up as a baby in Germany, if you never saw anything else, all you see is Heil Hitler, Deutschland über alles, meaning Germany above all. If you're brought up in that environment, you become a Nazi. Now, if you were raised by the headhunters of the Amazon as a baby, you never saw anything else, you'd be a headhunter.
Right, right.
And if I said to you, doesn't it bother you to have 10 shrunken heads? You say, yes, it does. My brother has 20.
Yeah.
And is anything wrong with that guy? No. He was brought up in that culture.
Right.
If you're brought up in the Deep South, in an uneducated region, you're going to speak with a southern accent and have the same facial expressions, and you're going to speak a certain way about Afro-Americans. I'm old, give me a nigga, I'm going to kick his ass in. All of that is picked up by environment. It's not human nature. Human nature does not exist. Greed is learned. Corruption is learned. Bigotry and prejudice is learned by your culture.
Mm-hmm.
Patriotism is a product of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein said patriotism is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way with the same kind of problems that got us into this nation, we gave all this money to the banks, to bankers, and the people that created the problem. What a stupid system. How uneducated people are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, being uneducated, I am afraid of the direction society is moving in. Therefore, we call for a completely new direction called a resource-based economy that uses no money.
Right.
It makes everything available to people. Look, if you live near a waterfall, a beautiful water, drinking water, and there's so much of it, nobody steals water. Nobody puts a price tag on the air you breathe, although it's essential for life, but there's so much of it that there's no need to put a price tag on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the capacity to produce such an abundance that there'd be a waste of time to put a price tag on it.
Mm-hmm.
See, when industry gets new machines, they don't tell people, hey, now you only work 3 hours a day. And if the new machines come in, you work 2 hours a day, and then you get a one-month vacation. They don't do that. They downsize, meaning they get rid of you. If our nation loved people and really was concerned about every American, they would not outsource.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
They outsource because they can make more money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a nice guy and you build a playground for the women's children that work in your plant, you can't compete with a person that outsources. So you're forced to become an SOB.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
If you become humanistic and you're concerned with the people that work in your plant, instead of paying them minimum wage, you pay them, $20 an hour. Now, if you do that, you can't stay in business. Nobody's going to invest in your company if you pay your help that much. They will invest in companies that show a high profit.
Right, right.
Now, I want to tell you something else. There's a lot of new, wonderful materials that most people don't know anything about.
Uh-huh.
They're called shape memory alloys. We can design buildings that are self-erecting. We can design machines where you don't need cashiers in department stores. I don't like it when a young lady stands behind a counter the best years of her life. What can I do for you, ma'am? This is not using your head. Mm-hmm. This is exploiting human beings. We would let people go back to college free. Because mm-hmm. the higher the quality, the better the education, the richer the world. Every child deprived of books, good education, good, healthy, nutritious food is dangerous for our future. You know, kids today, high school kids, hang out in malls. I don't know if you know that. You see thousands of kids in malls all mm-hmm. over the country.
Mm-hmm.
There should be art centers, music centers, cultural centers for people to go to. They don't give a damn about people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say what I'm saying. I'm not angry. I'm merely describing the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to work.
What about religion? I mean, from what I understand, part of your ideal future is one in which religion is basically outmoded.
Well, for example, the society I'm talking about has no slums, no poor people, no hungry people anywhere in the world. They have access to the necessities of life, so you can't be kind or good. You can't give a person a couple of bucks. What happens after that couple of bucks is used up? What happens when you're kind and you take an old lady across the street? Where does she go after she gets across the street? I'm not interested in this patchwork where you send a bunch of bags of grain to some underdeveloped country. I'm interested in developing that country so it becomes resource rich.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the difference now?
Yes, I do understand.
Now, people liken it to communism and socialism because they don't know anything else. They don't know what questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But one way that's like, who makes the decisions? No one.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says, say one engineer wants to build a swept forward wing, another one wants to build a swept back wing, who decides which is built? We build swept back, swept forward because there's no more cost. Instead of asking how much will it cost to build new cities, the question is not how much will it cost. Do we have the resources?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do. We have more than enough resources to care for everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. I want to invite anybody to call in. The number is 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. It's getting really late on the East Coast where they are at. So please make it quick. We don't want to keep them on the phone for too long. But I'm going to go ahead and ask, you know, in your future society, could a person have a religious view and still exist in it and be participate in this future society?
Could people have a religious view and participate in the society?
Yes, you can believe whatever you want to believe and participate, so long as you do your small part. If you're a nurse, you can be a Seventh-day Adventist, or you can believe in that there's no God but Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's up to you. The kind of house you live in would be based upon your areas of interest. No architect will design a building and put all these buildings in a row. They all look alike today. Most people today conform. If you don't conform, you're ostracized. They keep talking about individuality, and they keep talking about participatory democracy.
Mm-hmm.
They ask me whether it will be a participatory democracy. So I say, would you like that? And they say, yes.
Oops.
The soil. I don't know. Well, how can you take part in a participatory democracy?
Right, right.
They really think they participate. You ask any normal American, did you vote for the space program? They'll say no. Did you vote for the Vietnam War? They'll say no. Did you vote for this war? They'll say no. Well, where the hell do you participate? Well, whether you're a participatory democracy, it's only a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
There's no basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
The people selected that run for government are not selected by you. They're selected by the establishment to keep things as they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we got a call coming in. Hold on just one second. I'm going to add this call to our...
You're on the phone calling in?
Yes.
Caller, you're on the line.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to ask your guest what is to be done with the controlling elite that are in power now?
Well, no one would be shot. I'll continue that. I would say that the middle class American today lives better than kings. He has guidance in his automobiles, air conditioning. No king ever had that. So when you turn science loose and give every lab whatever the hell they need, every medical institution, instead of digging up nickels and dimes, we give them whatever equipment they need to do research. So it is through technology that our standard of living, everyone, would live better than the wealthiest people today.
Go ahead, caller.
But aren't they in control of the...
We don't shoot anybody.
Hold on.
They can go back to school and study a useful profession. There'll be no investment brokers, no lawyers, no bankers. There'll be no one that did not contribute to society.
Okay, caller, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, aren't they in control of the high technology, and they kick down the little, you know, a little bit of stuff down to the regular people, but they control all the main technology... And I think that's a major problem.
Don't the politicians control all the main technology today?
There are no politicians in the future.
I'm talking about today.
Today, they control the works. The minute you go in any industry today and you punch that time clock, you're in the dictatorship. They always warn you against dictatorships. But every industry is a private dictatorship. They don't ask the workers in the automobile factory, how would you like things to be? What would you prefer? Tennis courts? Would you like 2 hours for lunch? No. You punch that time clock and you're under that dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you leave the parking lot, it says no left turn. So you're not really free. If you don't obey the laws of this land, you're fined. There are lots of laws. On highways of 60 miles an hour, or 50 miles an hour, or a 40-mile zone. In the future, the power output in each district would be different. When you got to a school district, your car would automatically slow down to 14 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely. You
remember when people used to operate elevators? They turn the crank and they never quite got to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They had to adjust that crank. Today you step in an elevator and you press 17 and it takes you right to the 17th floor.
Right.
We're going to move people out of government because they basically have failed. All through history, there's been wars, deprivation, hunger, poverty, prisons. That's the old way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new way of doing things completely unrelated to the BS world you live in.
Right, absolutely.
Bad science, okay?
Yeah, I think that one thing that can most of my listeners will agree with is that we see your world vision, and I can say for me, for one, I totally see it, and it sounds like a beautiful vision. There is a concern that most people have is how are we going to get the people – I mean, think about it for an example of this. There's plenty of wealthy people in this world, and they like being wealthy, and they already have what they need. Many people – like you have people like the Rockefellers, for example. They have more money that they can spend in 5 lifetimes, but they're still working on their agenda, and they're still participating in the political process. So my concern is that – I mean, if we were to try to change the system – What guarantees would we have that these people would not apprehend these methods and use them against us?
I'm going to try to answer that question. I knew an owner of an aircraft factory during the last depression.
Mm-hmm.
The government came in and said, we're taking over your factory. He said, why? Because you, for 3 years, haven't paid anything on your equipment. He says, I have no orders for airplanes. Take the goddamn factory. There were a lot of factories nailed up during the last depression. Well, the American automotive industry seems to be failing. The Japanese are doing a better job. In the future, automobiles will have an electric motor in the middle of the wheel, so there's no transmission. They will be electrically operated, so they don't pollute. In other words, you don't have to write anybody. You just put the engineers in charge of transportation during the transition. It's when the system fails that all of the wealthy people have nothing. In other words, if you still don't understand me, if you find yourself on an island, say shipwrecked, with $10 million, and there's no water, no arable land, and no fish, you have nothing. Money is nothing. It doesn't represent anything. So when we talk of a resource-based economy, you have to say, what have we here on Earth? So we would do a global survey of all available resources, and that'll tell us, after the global survey, how many hospitals are needed, how many new cities are needed, and we have the resources without the interference of money.
Absolutely. Now, say you do a survey and you find that there's a special need for a certain type of food, and how, okay, would you expect the people who are going to produce that food and grow it in the earth to volunteer, or would they be assigned?
We don't have people doing that. I don't know if you've ever seen today's automation. It handles pills, bottles, Coca-Cola, all kinds of things without people. The machines move right along and turn out things much faster than any people can. There are no wealthy people because the wealthy system comes to an end. There's no way any system can freeze and continue that system on and on. All systems come to an end. Even your laptop, 2 years from now, will make the one you have today obsolete. So no system can freeze and hold that system. The airplanes change, the electronics change, the image on television gets better. So you can't freeze. The nation that can't take the next step will become a has-been nation. So you've got China and India moving into the future. If we don't realize these things that I'm talking about, we will become a have-not nation.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing to do with logic or reason. There's no such thing as reason or logic. You can only talk to people that read the same kind of books you read, that are brought up with the same privileges you had. So those are the people that you have things in common with. But you can't walk into a Ku Klux Klan meeting and raise money for the B'nai B'rith. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Jews can't go into Nazi Germany and say, there are a lot of hungry Jews, we need some money to feed them. Do you think they're going to give them anything? No, because they're brought up with a different set, a different mindset. If you walk into a Klan meeting and say, this Afro-American never hurt you, they don't hear that. Oh, a goddamn nigger lover from the North. You see, their associations are preset. And all our decisions are based upon associative memory. That is, the way we were brought up.
Yeah.
Too fast for you?
No, absolutely not. I'm wondering, what is your take on things like population control? And do you believe the world is overpopulated?
A population has to be regulated by the carrying capacity of the earth, not the opinions of anyone.
Right.
If you do a survey and you have so much arable land in the area, so much water available, that will support so many people very well. But if your population exceeds the productive capacity of the land, you'll have malnutrition, riots, crime. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
So we have to base our population on the carrying capacity of the earth, not the opinions of some governor or senator. This is great 100 years ago.
Right.
Today we have totally different methods of evaluation. That's where scientists would be if they weren't brought up patriotically. That's why scientists are specialists. They know very little outside their own field. They think that politicians know their business. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They're some of the most ignorant people in existence.
I agree with you 100%.
They don't solve any problems.
Yes, absolutely true.
Let me give you another example.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when I was a kid, the trolley cars had platforms on the side. People that were late for work used to remain on the platform. They didn't get in the car, and they were hit by automobiles. So they put a sign on, please, get in the car, but get off the platform. Do not remain on the platform. That didn't work. Then they had a conductor with a rubber hose. They used to push you in the car or off the platform. But when the car got in motion, people climbed up on the platform. That went on for 10 years. They took the problem to an engineering company, and the engineers made retractable platform. So when the people got in, the platform turned up. So no one can remain on it. Most of our problems are technical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not political at all.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that technology could deal with issues like crime?
First of all, crime is a fear, or crime is based upon a guy working all his life for minimum wage. He's always in hock. And somebody said, look, if you sell drugs, you can make $2,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
A guy doesn't sell drugs because he wants to poison people. He sells drugs because he's getting nowhere and no one seems to care about him, especially amongst the minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have access to the necessities of life, they do not steal. People live near Niagara Falls where there's lots of drinking water. There, nobody steals water. Nobody charges you for the amount of breath you take.
Right.
They just don't understand. Even a serial killer is a product of the culture he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's a product of an unusual environment. Jeffrey Dahmer, you look at him as a terrible person. Well, before Jeffrey Dahmer, there was a guy named Albert Fish. And he ate 45 children. And the public wanted to tear him to pieces. The psychiatrist named Wortham wrote a book called Show of Violence. He said, don't kill him. I want to know the conditions that made him that way. In the future, we can eradicate the conditions that are responsible for crime.
Hmm.
We now know enough about human behavior as to, in other words, if you're brought up in a fascist culture,
mm-hmm.
you become a fascist.
Right.
If you still don't understand me, picture a Roman family going to see Christians being fed to lions.
Mm-hmm.
And the children say, Daddy, can we come next week to see Christians being fed to lions? And he says, only if you behave yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing wrong with these kids. They're brought up in a warped society,
mm-hmm.
as we are
mm-hmm.
brought up in a primitive society. We are technically well advanced, but not wise enough to use our technology intelligently.
Let me throw another angle there, because I'm curious to dig more into this concept, because it seems to be a pretty profound concept. In issues such as unattractive young man grows up, isn't able to find himself the kind of attractive mate that he would want, and he resorts to rape. Do you think that in your society that type of thing would be eradicated? And if not, what would you do to deal with that issue?
An unattractive man grows up and can't get dates, so he reverts to rape.
Okay. If an unattractive man can't get dates and he reverts to rape, first of all, our sexual behavior is very different than reality. I lived in the South Pacific Islands many years ago, where all the natives walked around nude, and I never saw a male stare at a female body. If you're brought up swimming nude when you're a kid, they really look at the eyes of the girl you're talking to. And that's the way it was in the South Seas when I was there, when I was a kid, about 22. I worked my way on a banana boat. Then the Christians came, and they put up a tent, and they were going to teach the natives about Jesus Christ. And they told the girls not to come to church unless they wear a T-shirt. And the girls had no idea of why they were wearing a T-shirt. So they did put a T-shirt on, and they cut two holes in the T-shirt because they were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you cover a girl's nose and say the guy, give us your girl's nose, is no. Show him a little bit of the girl's nose, he's going to have to loosen his car. If that's the way you bring them up. So all the books written about sex are culture-bound. They have nothing to do with the natural behavior.
Beauty and ugliness.
Beauty and ugliness is a product of culture. If everybody had a nose a foot long, you'd have surgery done. Do you understand what I'm saying there?
No, I don't. I don't understand that.
All right. If everybody in society had a nose a foot long, I'm assuming you don't.
Right.
You would have surgery done
to make it longer. Okay, gotcha.
You wouldn't be picked on or looked upon.
Right. Understandable.
But there's really no such thing as beauty, except in our society, we have movie actors that look a certain way, so everybody tries to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in the islands, they're associated with people because they like them. And that their concept of beauty, the girl had to be fat.
Mm-hmm.
Or have a large tummy. There are also islands in the South Pacific where men put makeup on, and the women can lift up to 400 pounds. Depends on where you're brought up and what the value system is.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that you believe are right and wrong comes from religion. And religion comes from mostly people who didn't know or didn't know how to account for nature, or how men, or how plants exist, or they look at the world and there appears to be so much harmony, they figure that somebody must have made it because they couldn't conceive of anything else.
Mm.
And when a lot of people died due to the Black Plague, which killed half the Earth's population, the Bible told them that their fathers and grandfathers were evil men, and these are the consequences of the sins of their fathers. Or, as they do in India, the law of karma, cause and effect.
Mm.
The scientists said, I don't know why people are dying. And they tried to find out, and they found out that there were little fleas that lived on rats. And so when they began to control the rats, they controlled the fleas, and they diminished the bubonic plague.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say it wouldn't come back. It's possible that it can come back again if we don't look after the environment and protect it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you see, religion says the reason you suffer is because your father sinned. Science says the reason you suffer is because you have a value system that's unable to deal with problems. You're not able to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a man in Latin America catches another man in bed with his wife, he might shoot them both. Or he might shoot the intruder. But he won't say to his wife, how much longer will you be? And where is it that I'm not meeting your needs?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We don't give kids a way of thinking to be able to solve problems. We don't give them information how to relate to other people and honestly disagree without getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're brought up in Sicily, a guy says, you let that guy speak that way to your sister, I'd knock his block off. If that's common practice in a certain country where people say, I'm a Spanish, I'm emotional, it made me get angry fast, well, that's part of the culture. If you're brought up in England, you might not react that way. So people reflect their culture.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Don't you see that? Is that obvious?
Yeah.
If you live in the South, if you live in a deprived area,
mm-hmm.
if you live where there's a tremendous membership in the Ku Klux Klan, we had 3 million members in the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you call this a sane country?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is sane. Nowhere on earth. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Until you begin to understand. Now, a lot of people are not able to understand what I'm talking about. So if I speak to people at public schools or at universities, I adjust my language to the kind of people that are there.
Right.
If I speak in a church, I adjust my language to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot speak in any common way to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we have to make different types of motion pictures
mm-hmm.
for different regions of the world to help bring people around, not in your terms, in their terms.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's missing in the world today.
Yes.
Psychologists that would adjust you to this system have to be pinheads. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
they try to adjust you to the world today.
Yes, I do.
Well, if they get mad at me, I try to address the American Psychological Association. They asked whether I was a psychologist. I said no, and they turned it down. Now, look, the Wright brothers were bicycle mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
They knew nothing about airplanes. The experts wrote books on why man can't fly. They never read those books, and they didn't know that man couldn't fly, so they built a flying machine.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Pasteur was not a doctor. He was a chemist. Alexander Graham Bell used to teach the deaf to speak. He made the telephone. The experts didn't know how to make it in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, if you slam the doors and think that going to a university makes people smart, you're living under a delusion. Because the engineers, technicians, and scientists in Germany fell in line with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And they always do in Italy and America. They fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something dreadfully wrong with all our universities.
Mm-hmm.
They turn out people that are alike.
Mm-hmm. There are some people, and that's part of what I do on my radio show. There is a philosophy among certain religious views that believe, or not wouldn't say religious, but that love is a primitive characteristic of man. That love is something that is no longer needed. It was only needed for us to mate with other people of the other species, the same species, in the past. What do you believe in terms of like the future of emotional love, things like that, and how does that play into the situation?
Do I believe in love?
Yes.
Somebody once asked me whether I loved my mother. I said, in what area? My mother was a racist and a bigot, so I didn't love her in those areas. Do you like everything you've ever done in your life?
No.
All right, if you live with a replica of yourself, how long will you be together?
That's
and
a good
sometimes
question.
Sometimes you love yourself, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not a fixed situation. People that get married don't love each other all the time. In fact, usually when they split up, they hate one another. So what happened to love? What is love? No one ever spells it out. They don't know what love is. I can tell you what it is. You'll never get it in your school books. In real love, people have concern for one another because the smarter the people are that you associate with, the richer your life. When you share your world with others and you share your knowledge with others, that when you have patents that keep other countries from making things, when you have a drug company that sells pills, this is against love.
Mm-hmm.
Because every wonderful idea that ever comes out will belong to every human being. And every inventor would be well taken care of. Every artist would have a high standard of living, just like every poet, every writer. In other words, you don't discriminate against anyone.
Extensionality.
We call it extensionality. In other words, if you make good books available to children when they're very young,
mm-hmm.
you don't sell books. You improve people as best you can.
Mm.
You try to understand why some people put out tremendous efforts while others do not. So all we do in this society, we say, well, John is lazy and Bill works very hard, so he ought to be compensated. People are made to appear lazy by lack of reinforcement. Either they work for minimum wage, they get no reason to want to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a son and you tell him to get out there and mow the goddamn lawn, if he does that, if you don't walk out and say, I deeply appreciate your help, would you like to go to a movie? If you don't reward the person in some way, they hide when they see you coming.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you're a little lazy bastard, you come out behind the tree and get out there and mow the lawn. When you take two children in the same family, and one turns out to be a gangster, the other a minister, it doesn't mean that the environment is the same. It means if you pick up the younger child and play with it and negate the older child, that lower lip extends out, mm-hmm. and he may feel very sad. And when the younger kid falls down the stairs, there's a slight grin on the neglected child. There's no such thing as the same environment. Like priests tell me, they know two people in the same environment. One's an engineer, the other's an artist. If environment is the same thing, if it produces behavior, how come they're not the same? Because the environment is never the same. If your mother walks over you and says, why can't you be like your brother? He puts everything in place, you leave all your things all over the house, and I have to pick up after you. Well, that's an attitude that you develop against your brother. Mm-hmm. You feel he's favorite, and you're not. So you make jealousy and envy. People don't even know how to raise children. Mm-hmm. They don't know what school they're at. They think, I guess they'll just grow up and grow out of it. There's no such thing as growing up and grow out of it. Mm. In other words, you can't fly an airplane unless you sit in a dummy plane and learn to move the controls. Mm-hmm. Then you sit in a real airplane and you check the tire pressure and the way the ailerons and rudder moves, and you begin to control little by little. You have to be put in an engineering environment or a medical environment to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. The doctor doesn't know what scarlet fever is. He's shown pictures of cystic fibrosis. He's shown pictures of malaria. And then his brain and nervous system are exposed to all these different physical disorders. You have to go to medical school. You're not born a doctor. And by the way, in case you're interested, a Chinese baby does not learn to speak Chinese any faster than an English baby. So if you take two babies and put them in a Chinese environment, they both take about the same time. Mm-hmm. They used to think the Chinese baby would learn the language faster. Mm-hmm. Well, that's BS, bad mm-hmm. science.
Do you believe that some people on this planet are more primitive than others? That they're not a further evolved and incapable of thinking as intelligently as some other people?
Well, I think if you took the baby, if Einstein had a child, and you put that child in room with the headhunters of the Amazon, it would be a headhunter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you took a headhunter's child and brought him up in our schools and educated him, mm-hmm. he would be different mm-hmm. than the other headhunters. There's really... the difference between people is the environment they're raised in.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you see your child playing with boys that are bad influence on them, that push each other around and fight and do such terrible things, you tell your kid, I don't want you to play with those boys. You're trying to control the environment. Mm-hmm. When you send your kid to Sunday school, you're trying to give them a sense of morality. You're trying to put them in a moral environment.
Mm-hmm.
And people still don't get it. They don't seem to get the idea that they're shaped by environment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting.
Because they like to believe that they're here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. People keep saying to me, oh, you must be here by divine influence. You must be here to help make the world a better place. Well, that's an ego trip. People like to believe they're all here for a purpose. Well, if God gives people a special privilege, well, I give them credit for it.
Mm.
Suppose in school, you can read a book once and remember every word you've read, and another person doesn't have as many neurotransmitters that you have. Well, I give them credit for it.
Mm.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
It's like a beauty contest. Well, I give a girl a prize. She didn't make her face, but she took clay, a distorted face, and made her own face. I can see that.
Yes, yes.
But a beauty contest is about nothing. A football game is about nothing,
mm-hmm.
but it amuses lots of people. And if you keep them occupied in bullshit, you're going to produce a nothing race.
Mm, interesting. Absolutely.
You don't have to agree with me.
No,
I'm
not...
to get angry at the things I say. All I ask you to do is not follow me. Just think of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Pass it around.
Absolutely.
I don't want to build a following. I want you to listen to what I say. If it makes sense, do it.
Interesting. Yes. I totally, this is very thought-provoking, and it's definitely getting me to think in different ways, for sure.
Thank you for giving me the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and let you go, because I know I've kept you over longer than we had agreed upon, about an hour. But is it, before you go, is there anything else that you want to say before you go?
Well, so much, you know. And you're brought up in a certain world, you have certain views, and you really think they're your own. People ask me if I believe in life after death. I don't even believe in life during life, because we're not alive. People get us when we're very young. They say you're a Lutheran, you're a Catholic. You go to this school, you're brought up in the greatest country in the world, and that's France. So wherever you're brought up, it wasn't you. They just can your brain and fill it with a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So you have normal people that are mentally distorted.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what do you think about, one last question, what do you think about political dissidents?
What do I think about what?
Political dissidents.
Well, I think that in a democracy, our president would criticize another country, then we'd invite the other country's prime minister to give his point of view. We would then invite the Prime Minister of Sweden, who says, I don't agree with either of them. This is how I see it. That's a democracy. We've got every point of view on the air.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got religion on Sundays, that's not a democracy. You should have comparative religion, what different people believe throughout the world. And then you have what some people don't believe and don't agree with religion. You should have agnostic, atheist, religionist, all points of view, that's a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Anything less than that is control.
Mm-hmm.
Your television and radio stations, most of them,
mm-hmm.
Screen, it's managed news.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the other point of view. They couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
If you have true democracy, you have 10,000 political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control people. If you had freedom, you couldn't get them to enlist in the army. You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
If you make them alike and swing the flag up and back, you know, that manipulates them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think, don't swing a flag in front of me and try to manipulate me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me reasons for doing things. That's why some people burn the flag. Because they're not that they're against the United States. They're against being manipulated.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. Wow. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. Is it okay if I invite you back in the future to talk more?
Will you come back in the future?
Yes, I'd be delighted
That's
to do that. And see if you can think up some real naughty questions. Don't be polite. Because I have to be able to reach you.
Okay, okay.
If I can't, it's my problem.
Okay.
Or our website. If you want more information on the Venus Project, it's www.thevenusproject.com.
Absolutely. And there's tons of information out there about Jacques and what he does, and his concepts and philosophies. There's videos. I mean, there's a plethora of information. Feel free to Google it, and I'm sure you'll find plenty. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. We'll talk soon. I'll come up with some really bad questions for you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Well, there you go. That was Jacques Fresco and his assistant, Roxanne Meadows, of the Venus Project, the centerpiece, I would say, for the movie Zeitgeist Addendum. Pretty interesting stuff, thought-provoking. I found it particularly interesting that, number one, he had never seen part one of Zeitgeist. I wonder sometimes if he would have agreed for part two if he had seen it. Who knows? Another thing I thought was really interesting is that he doesn't believe 9/11 was an inside job and other things like that. There's no need for assuming, because, you know, I naturally just kind of had a tendency to believe that since he agreed to do the film that he was in agreement with most of what was being taught in that movie. Doesn't seem to be the case 100%, although a lot of his concepts were in the movie. So I guess it's interesting, thought-provoking stuff. Please call in if you have any comments to make on that interview. 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. I'm going to go to a quick break, grab a beer, and I'll be right back after this break. Okay. So that was Jacques Fresco. And I had a whole, like, thing that I was going to say about him before I got on the air with him. And because of technical difficulties, actually, I went to start the thing that I used to communicate with the station, and it totally did not work. It just did not work. And I found out what's going on. My hard drive is almost full. And because of that, there wasn't enough space, so it wouldn't let me save this show, which I'm hoping it's being recorded, and Dave from the station did in fact say that it is being recorded, so things should work out pretty good, I guess. Hopefully it'll come through clear. I know it was a little distorted, and they were talking on a speakerphone because he's kind of hard of hearing, but it was an interesting show, I think. There was a lot of interesting things said. I mean, no doubt that this movie, The Zeitgeist Addendum, has stirred up some controversy. I think that's obvious if you're in the know about what's going on. I can't say that, you know, I agree with him, but I will do what he said and think about it. But here's what I wrote, and this is what I was going to lead into and bringing him on the air. The Venus Project is a think tank in Venus, Florida, founded by Jacques Fresco, an industrial engineer, architectural designer, social engineer, and futurist. Together with his assistant Roxanne Meadows, the Venus Project works to forge a new design for the future of the world. Jacques has published numerous articles, books, and films, not forgetting the films that he was featured in, most recently Future by Design, which was published in 2006, and Zeitgeist Addendum in 2008, which is actually just a month ago, I think. It has received he has received various awards, and films that he's been in has received awards as well. In his most recent appearance in the sequel, and it was in the sequel of the controversial movie Zeitgeist, Zeitgeist Addendum aims to give real-world solutions to many of the problems of the first Zeitgeist movie. Among them, the goals of the Venus Project, and in particular, Jacques Fresco. This is what the website Future by Design says. Imagine a world where war is outdated. There is no shortage of resources, and every human being enjoys a high standard of living. This is the story of Jacques Fresco, a modern-day Da Vinci. So that's basically what I was going to lead in with. I was also going to play a clip. I'm going to go ahead and play that now. More of him talking about stuff, but the part that was used in the movie, which, you know, like I said before, I'm a little surprised that he wasn't familiar with the ideas of the Zeitgeist movie. But anyways, here is a clip, and I'll be back.
My name is Jacques Fresco. I'm an industrial designer and a social engineer. I'm very much interested in society, in developing a system that might be sustainable for all people. First of all, the word corruption is a monetary invention. That aberrant behavior that's disruptive to the well-being of people, while you're dealing with human behavior. And human behavior appears to be environmentally determined, meaning if you were raised by the Seminole Indians as a baby, never saw anything else, you'd hold that value system. And this goes for nations, it goes for individuals, for families. They try to indoctrinate their children to their particular faith and their country and make them feel like they're part of that. And they build a society which they call established. They establish a workable point of view and tend to perpetuate that. Whereas all societies are really emergent, not established. And so they fight new ideas that would interfere with the establishment. Governments try to perpetuate that which keeps them in power. People are not elected to political office to change things. They're put there to keep things the way they are. So you see, the basis of corruption is in our society. Let me make it clear. All nations, then, are basically corrupt because they tend to uphold existing institutions. I don't mean to uphold or downgrade all nations, but communism, socialism, fascism, the free enterprise system, and all other subcultures are the same. They are all basically corrupt.
That is a clip from the Zeitgeist Addendum movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I'm sure everybody who's listening has at this point. So, you know, the thing that I found interesting about his concepts is that it seems to me that a lot of them are concepts that have been around for a while. The organization UNESCO talks a lot about the resources and the cultural heritage. The idea of communism is that everything is... Nobody owns anything. It's all part of a cultural heritage that we all own it together. They would put it that there's no ownership. It depends on which way you put it, but I think the conclusion is basically the same. So the thing is that's really interesting about all he had to say is that in his scenario, that does not involve the elite, where the path to this, it does involve the elite. If you look at what's going on with people that are promoting the New World Order and things of that sort, it definitely secures for them their future. And it's funny because I find it interesting for me personally, because a lot of times when I'm debating people about the New World Order and things that I see wrong with it, I oftentimes bring up the fact that, yeah, they make it sound like it's going to be this great world, but they have no problem securing their wealth in that new order. You know, mine is going to be limited. I'm going to be stuck sharing with everything, but them, they're going to have everything they need. You know, and that's the thing about it is I always said, you know, it's a direct contradiction. And that once we gave them that kind of power, there would be no way with the technology that exists today to overcome it. That it would definitely... dominate society. Now, his perception on things is that there would be no elite, so that argument would be totally displaced. He also talks about the problems being solved by technology. I totally agree with that. I think there's plenty of technology out there to solve things. However, I think that the difference between perhaps me and him is that I believe that the people who control the world right now, they're extremely intelligent. I don't think that they're as dumb as he thinks they are. I think that they're very intelligent. They're very good at working behind the scenes, and they have been capable of manipulating society to the level that they have today, and they are not going to give it up without a fight. And not to say that they're going to take up arms against us. They're going to send, you know, the army and things like that. People who work on their behalf, they're definitely going to put up a fight. And if not through, you know, direct acts, definitely through intimidation or manipulation or propaganda or whatever it is that they have to do in order to secure their position as power. And the funny thing is, like, and from my studies, what I believe is that these people really believe that they are more enlightened and more intelligent than everybody else. Where Jacques, as much as he believes that these ideas around him are stupid, he by no means professes to have... a superior intelligence, nor does he accept the idea that other people on this planet are more primitive or any of that sort. He seems to believe that everybody has the capability of being either an intelligent person or a person who has been indoctrinated into a belief system that leads them to not realize the full intellectual potential. Very interesting stuff. I definitely gave me a lot to think about. I don't think that I've ever looked at it from his perspective, which dissects the power from the progress. I don't think progress has ever been promoted without the power being involved in it somehow and actually managing the change. And as long as we have a form of management, of course we're going to have people who are doing things. And I don't think that his world would come without problems, but he definitely looks at it like, hey, look where we're going now. You know, it's not like he's proposing something that's going to be, you know, without problems, but the way we're going right now is the worst possible solution. So he looks at it like in a more optimistic view. His resume and accomplishments are pretty profound, I gotta say. I'm not going to go through and read them all because it would make for boring reading, but you can definitely find them. I found this on thevenusproject.com under his the resume tab. And I also printed up some information about him on Wikipedia. He was actually involved for a time with an organization called the Technocrats, the Technocracy Movement, which he doesn't involve himself. I guess he got involved in a Technocracy Incorporated, which is an organization, but he doesn't see eye to eye with them on several things, so he decided to bow out of it and not stay involved with them. So he doesn't consider himself a technocrat. However, many of his ideas are definitely either he's adopted ideas from the technocrats, or the technocrats have adopted ideas from him, or a little bit of both. But either way, it's interesting to check into. I'm glad that he said that religion can have a position in the future. I find it pretty offensive and ridiculous that the guy from Zeitgeist demanded, like, basically set out an ultimatum that no world like that could exist, save, you know, the elimination of religion. I understand his position, but he has to understand the position of freedom and a basic principle, which is that if people do not want to go along with your agenda, you cannot force them. And and maybe he thinks that by presenting enough technology or enough information to people that it would eliminate it, it would be outmoded and it would be non-existent. I for one do not think that is true. Until science can conclusively prove, without a doubt, that there is no God, and I don't think that's even possible to do, that's going to be up for debate among people, and I would imagine that, religion, even if they could conclusively prove it, would still have played some effect in the world. So anyways, you're welcome to call in and comment on that interview, 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. I'm just going to kick back and drink a beer and go through some stuff that I think would be, well, it's just kind of has to go with the whole concept that he's presenting, to see what y'all think. Now, Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a book called Between Two Ages. And the subtitle on this is America's Role in the Technotronic Era. The entire book is about the oncoming technology age, which we are supposedly presently in. This book was written, let's see here, okay, published by Penguin Books in 70. First published by the Viking Press in 1970, and was republished over and over and over again. And actually, this book, for whatever reason, maybe they took it out of being, it's not being published anymore, is worth a lot of money now. I actually bought it for $30 like 4 or 5 years ago, and I looked online, and somebody told me, your book's worth $500. And I'm like, no, that is not, you know, no way. And they showed it to me. And no doubt, on Amazon, it's worth $500. So I'm glad I got my hands on it while it was cheap. But anyways, he presents a pretty similar concept, except for, like I said, it does not. He feels like there's a necessity for people like him to guide society. That society won't just come to this conclusion. That technology just won't let it evolve to that level. It needs to be guided. And furthermore, it doesn't ever give the idea that the future world would be without a government. It just has a really optimistic view about the government that will exist. Very optimistic, in fact. But let me go ahead and read some things I found very interesting in here. And like I said, you're welcome to call in, 1-877-REVERE-0, 1-877-738-3730. The quest for a universal vision. Man came silently into the world, but though his coming is shrouded in mystery, in the sense that we still know little about the actual beginnings of human existence. Let me turn up the phone so I don't miss anything. The actual beginnings of human existence, from the earliest known history, man has given evidence of an intense yearning to understand himself and his environment. However crudely and primitively, man has always sought to crystallize some organizing principle that would, by creating order out of chaos, relate him to the universe and help define his place in it. Despite the disappearance in earlier times of entire cultures, human evolution or social development has involved both an expansion in a man's awareness of himself and his fellows as a humanity, as a human entity endowed with certain common qualities, and an increasing systematic intellectual effort to define and organize his external reality meaningfully. There has thus been at work what Teilhard de Chardin has called, quote, an augmentation of consciousness, a stream whereby a continuing and transmittable tradition of reflection is established and allowed to increase, unquote. In terms of entirety of human existence, that stream may indeed be a short one. As the critics of the notion of historical progress readily point out, nevertheless, recorded history does not provide strong evidence of growth, often halting and uneven, but growth nonetheless, in man's consciousness of a common human fate, of certain universal cravings, and of common moral standard. Even when they compete, religions and ideologies have increasingly done so in terms of and for the sake of principles that seem, when viewed from a historical perspective, more and more to involve semantic and non-substantive differences. This is not to deny the practice. This is not to deny that practice has often widely differed. It is, however, remarkable that conflicts have been waged over competitive claims to a superior interpretation and application of such universal values as democracy, welfare, individual dignity, and personal freedom. Then it goes on to talk about the universal religions. And I'm telling you, like, if you were to read through this whole book, I think you would find a lot that's comparable to what he says. The difference is, of course, is that Zbigniew Brzezinski does not believe that this can be accomplished minus political manipulation or social engineering, which is what this gentleman is, with the social engineer, but he believes it should be by design, another by the... I don't know. I guess the question I should have asked him when I had him on the phone, maybe I'll ask him next time, is how does he expect to accomplish the transition? Like, I don't see... I mean, he answered the question, kind of, but I don't really understand how it's going to get from what it is today to that point. And I understand by bringing technology in, and if everybody... If he was to present a video, like he said, to the public, explaining these concepts so that they can involve themselves in the process, that perhaps it would eventually produce, I mean, after years and years and years and constant, you know, propagandizing this ideology, that perhaps eventually it could, you know, everyone could jump on board. I don't know. I don't see that happening, honestly. I just think that it would be battled, and there would be, you know, different ideologies at work. I mean, people don't tend to have a desire to have their ideologies or their philosophies or their personal views on the world in general altered for any good reason. It doesn't matter if it's in a cause world peace. I think people would prefer war if it meant that there's a chance that their particular ideology could win. You know, people have often, you know, I've been reading around the net, people often refer to this ideology that he presents as being utopian in essence. I can't say that it's not to a degree, because it definitely is. There's ideas of utopianism involved. You know, this idea of a good society, a perfect society, where people will not have to, surrender to powers and be manipulated by money and all this stuff. And that's a utopian idealism. I don't think there's a lot of people out there that think, nah, I really like money and I'd rather just be a slave to it. So it all sounds good. You know, and as long as I think that, you know, certain personal views can come into play, that being, you know, I guess the idea of religion and political affiliation and things like that, I can see technology evolving. If everybody would just get on the bandwagon that technology is the answer to a lot of our problems today and stop focusing so much on the differences and kind of come together on that tip, that eventually through the technology would advance, and eventually people would see that there's no need to cling to their ideologies and politics and things like that. I still don't see that being a solution for religion. I definitely think that religion is going to be the big obstacle, and maybe that's perhaps that's why the guy in Zeitgeist focused on it so intently. Maybe he just thought that, you know, in order to accomplish this, religion needed to be addressed first, and it was the biggest obstacle to overcome, so he donated a lot of time to it. However, his evidence is definitely questionable. It's definitely getting me thinking. It's definitely bringing up some debatable topics. I think we're going to have a good time with it in the future. I'm going to think a lot about it and bring some more guests on to do with it. I'm still hoping to get Peter Joseph. I don't think I'm going to get him, but he agreed to do a show with me like a year ago and never came on. Haven't gotten a hold of him since he kind of peaked in fame recently. So I don't see that happening, although it would be really interesting to talk to the guy. I think the only interview that I've really seen that of somebody who was willing to challenge his beliefs and really question them was Alex Jones, which, I mean, that was a ridiculous interview. I don't know if any of you heard it. I couldn't help but feel embarrassed for the guy. I mean, it was a joke. I mean, he even resorted at one point to making baby faces and, like, making sounds. And I'm not about to say that that's unlike him, because he's done things like that in the past. But, you know, when you're dealing in topics of intellectualism, you know, I think that there is a degree of intellectual elitism coming from Peter Joseph. But I think his response to it only furthered proof. You know, if anything, it just helped him bring his point home, it would be interesting to get into a little bit of a not a debate, but at least a conversation where opposing viewpoints were presented to see how his views hold up. And I definitely want to ask him about his connections or the connections of the information that he presented in Zeitgeist 1 in terms of religion, because most of the people he quoted were either New Agers, Freemasons, or atheists who were, you know, most of which were of questionable relationships with other people. I don't know what to say about all that. I mean, it's just, to me, and the funny thing about it is, the thing that really, really gets me is that many of the people that he presented for his so-called evidence were people who promoted the New World Order. Now, I've been seeing this all along, and I don't think people have picked up on it. If you think that I'm an Alex Jones New World Order thinking type of person, you're wrong, because I don't. I believe the New World Order is a utopian society. I believe the New World Order is going to have control, but it's going to be control that's very minimal. Like, you won't even really see it. And anybody who rises up to challenge the idea, preset view of how things should be, will be taken out and things like that. But as long as you're not, you know, I mean, I think that there's going to be control over things to a degree. I don't think it's going to be as much of a police state as everybody expects. All those prisons they have set up all over the countries or right between cities, that way if the people rebel, you better believe they're going to clamp down. They will at that point. But if they're going to keep going until people do not, as long as people do not rise up en masse and try to stop it, there's no need for them to use those prisons. They can just squash the small movements through the various, you know, infiltrations that they can do. So I think that the world that's coming is going to be, I think it's going to be funny. I think it's not going to be funny. It's going to be sad. But I think that the world that's coming, I think you're going to find a lot of people who are like, hey, this isn't so bad. You know what I'm saying? I think you're going to find a lot of people who are so against it are going to all of a sudden become for it. I really do. Because if you look at things from a humanistic worldview, this is the utopia. You know, this idea that Peter Joseph is pushing. Let's recap here. What are the goals of the New World Order? It's the elimination of ecclesiastical religions, the replacement of religion with a new religion. Some believe that new religion is New Age. New Agers believe they're the new religion, and they often refer to getting rid of old paradigms, as Chris White talked about on the last show. They also want to eliminate all borders and create a one-world system where there's a common heritage, okay? Let's talk about... But, you know, the thing about it is that they believe technology exists so much that they can actually manage without having to have governments, per se, managing. And there's going to be institutions. Institutions are going to replace the governments. And everyone always says that the corporate world is going to be the New World Order. I don't think it is. I think what you're going to find is the people who are running the corporations and the people who are running the government are the same people, and they're planning on merging. Emerging of the corporations and the government, and then emerging of all the governments in the one. And basically, it's going to be the formulation of a social structure that's going to be unseen. It's unseen in history. No one knows really what it's going to look like. But they claim to be achieving all the same things that Jacques is. The difference between Jacques and them is that they make it perfectly clear, at least from what I understand, that the new world structure is not going to be absent of power. It's going to have people controlling us just very, very quietly. And the world's going to be so good that people will not rebel because, you know, the bread and circus is going to be great. The bread is going to be extra good, and the circus is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be so good that we would never think of rebelling. That's what they say they're going to create. So, let that be said. I don't know. It's definitely giving me a lot to think about, but I have to get going. Till next week, this is So Real, Truth and Love. I'm going to post on my website here really quick. This as quickly as I can, I'm going to post this interview, and then I'm going to get right into trying to figure out who my next guest is going to be. I'm going to try for Peter Joseph once more. But next week we're going to continue on the topic of the Zeitgeist agenda, and we'll see what y'all think. All right? Peace and love.